Today we celebrate All Saints and All Souls Day. It's a time for remembering all our loved ones that have gone before us. And it's also a time to recognize the breaking in of the Kingdom of God into today, into the present day. Of recognizing the saints here among us, more accurately, the holy ones among us, who define the way of the world under God's reign, where there is joy, laughter, love, and peace. I would like to ask you all to think for a moment of these holy ones, either living or dead, who have acted in your own lives or in the world. These, like us, are the commissioned, those through whom the Holy Spirit works, the ones who dreamt or who continue to dream of a new order, of God's order, the ones who dare to hope, to imagine, and to be creative in their ministries. But dreams are strange, aren't they? Prophets like Daniel or Joseph had dreams that spoke to a whole people. My dreams are not so grand, but they do speak to me. Do any of you have recurring dreams? Dreams that compel you to ask, what does this mean? So at the risk of exposing myself to interpretation concerning my state of mind, I'm going to share with you the rudiments of one recurring dream that I have throughout my life. I call these dreams my house dreams. You'll understand why in a minute. The details in these dreams change, but they always take place in very strange houses, but houses that I know to be my own house. The rooms are filled with oddity, with sorrow, or fear. In one dream, the rooms were haunted by evil spirits. In another, they were filled with a pillaging army who was brutally killing people. And in another, they were filled with desperately poor families full of sickness and destitution, in need of food, medicine, and love. And I'm always frightened or uncomfortable when I have my house dreams. And yet I make myself move through the house in a sort of exploratory way. And the strange thing is that in every house dream, as I walk through the house, I discover something that I had never noticed. It's been a door to a corridor that I know wasn't there before. But when I open it, it leads to a beautiful room with plush furniture and a fireplace and a raging fire. In another, where the house was too small to even move around in, I saw a door to a corridor, and down that corridor, there were many rooms that were welcoming and safe. Since I'm not a prophet, I look to my house dreams in terms of what they're telling me alone. I like to interpret the new places in them as opening up possibilities in the form of warm and welcoming opportunities in my life, or as a challenge to take action despite fears I might have, to redress poverty and destitution that I see in my life. I like to think my dreams are reminding me that there's always hope, light, and resurrection. Daniel, unlike me, was a prophet, and his dream spoke to a whole people. The theologian Walter Brueggemann tells us that when we explore the book of Daniel, we have to allow ourselves to dive into the imaginary, into a world of expectation and affirmation. And there's no better time to do this than on All Saints Sunday, when we're not only remembering those who've gone before, but we're also called in the readings to repent of our parochial grip on reality and to entertain God's sovereignty. And so Daniel dares us to enter the dream. In his dream, Daniel saw the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea. There are echoes here of the chaotic darkness in Genesis 1. When the wind of God swept over the face of the waters and brought order and creation to the chaos. Yet out of the deeps in Daniel's dream emerge four monstrous beasts. One is a lion with eagle's wings, which are plucked off and the beast is made to walk on 2 feet. The next is like a bear with 3 tusks in its mouth, along with its teeth. And it devours many bodies. The third is like a leopard, but with 4 wings and 4 heads. And it's given dominion. The fourth, which in a text between the two texts that we read today, we're told is terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. And it had iron teeth that were destroying everything and was stamping out what was left. It had 10 horns, and one small horn emerged among them that had human eyes and a mouth that spoke arrogantly. But in the dream, none of these beasts survive, because an ancient one who is served by thousands of holy ones takes the throne. And the terrifying beast is burnt while the others are stripped of their power and fade away with time. The interpreter tells Daniel that the beasts are empires. His dream reflects the fears of the people of being subsumed by these empires. The beasts represent the Assyrian king, the Babylonian, Persian, and Greek empires, who in succession were oppressed the Hebrew people. And there's specific mention given to the little horn that spoke arrogantly. This little horn that speaks arrogantly depicts Antiochus IV Epiphanes, who desecrated the temple and obliterated the Sabbath, or made it illegal. And out of this living nightmare, God takes the throne. And one like a human being is given dominion. And holy ones are given the kingdom of God. Prophets speak truths to a people. When we read the scripture, we are the audience. And it's not hard for us to come up with contemporary examples of empires that have come out of the chaotic depths of our societies and have wreaked havoc. The key is to remember that the kingdom, the power, and the glory are with God, that these false empires cannot endure. Like the horrible beasts, some will be destroyed quickly, and others will be stripped of their power and fade away with time. Evil cannot prevail. And like Daniel's interpreter says, the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. We get a glimpse of this kingdom in the blessings and woes that we read in the Gospel of Luke this morning, these great reversals of corruption in the world. The blessings give hope by letting everyone know of a new kingdom, God's kingdom. The order of great reversals echo Mary's song that she sings when she's foreshadowing the birth of Jesus into the world, and where she sings, Jesus' incarnation will bring down the powerful from their thrones and lift up the lowly, fill the hungry, and send the rich away empty. It is the breaking into the present of the kingdom of God. The woes, or sometimes called the anti-blessings or anti-beatitudes, if you like, are the things that obstruct this order. They are the warnings. They are like the beasts, and they're meant to be scary. But like the book of Daniel, they're also meant to encourage us to hope and to dream bigger. In the blessings and in the woes, Jesus gives us the wherewithal to live out God's mission, so that we who are marked by the seal of the Holy Spirit might live a holy life, a life of hope and praise of God's glory. We are the blessed, so that we can be blessings on others. So let's try it. I'm going to ask you to turn to your neighbor on your left for a moment and say to them, "Bless you." So how did that feel? It feels good. Great. Maybe a bit awkward? Maybe because we don't do it enough. Just as in my house dreams, despite the horrors I see, God provides a glimpse of the kingdom, a glimpse of hope, safety, and comfort. And I continue to seek it. All it takes is for us to dream past the empires that bind us and to seek the kingdom of God here among us. We are called to live in the reversals that Jesus proclaims in the blessings and woes. We are the blessed of the Most High, the same Most High that overthrew the evil empires in Daniel's dream. We are the blessed communion of saints. We are the body of Christ that we will soon share at the table, united in love and in God's justice. Amen.